2021 earnings report and shareholder letter. So our first live stream here, this is going to be a live reaction as the results come out. Then we're also going to have a second live stream later today with Tesla's earnings call. You can find the link for that down in the show notes or in the description. So while we get set here, if you are coming to this after the live stream, check the timestamps because that will lead you to when the actual results come out and you won't have to sit here and go through the preamble with us. But for those of you that are joining live, I thought, hey, we're all going to be sitting around waiting for earnings anyway, like we usually do. Let's just hang out and have a discussion while we wait. So thank you for joining me for Q3 earnings. And yeah, this should lead right into the Q3 earnings call later today. That's scheduled for 4:30 Central Time, 2:30 Pacific Time. I think that's, double check this, but I think that's 9:30 p.m. UTC. But double check that. So, all right, let's, I've got the investor relations page pulled up right now. That should be where Tesla posts their results, and that should come just a little bit after market close. Usually it's within 10, 15 minutes or so. So we might have to wait another 20, 30 minutes or so, something like that, till we get the results. But once market closes, of course, we can sit here and refresh that page together. And then we've got, of course, Tesla stock price up right here. And yeah, it's been pretty flat for most of the day. The NASDAQ kind of dipped off earlier from earlier being green. So kind of the last couple of days, Tesla's really just been trading pretty flat. So I guess investors are set and just waiting for the results now, and we'll see what we get. Either way, though, we're going to see this price-to-earnings ratio drop, that's for sure. So we're at 455 right now. If my earnings forecasts come in correct, which we'll see, obviously we'll find out soon, that should drop to around like 250, 260, something like that, from the last 12 months gap earnings. So while we do wait, I'll just flip over and let you know what I'm going to walk through once we actually do get the report. So let me go over to Excel here. And as you guys have seen, this is just the kind of readapted spreadsheet now formatted for when we get the actual results here. We'll put them in here, and you guys are just going to have to bear with me. You know, if you want to, you can bear with me as I enter those results when we get them. And then we'll go through how those look year over year, and then how my forecast and analyst consensus forecast compares to what the actual results were. I do have these structured so that, you know, I think a common refrain is that, you know, Tesla doesn't miss forecasts, or any company doesn't miss forecasts. Forecasts miss the company. So I have these variances here set up to show how our forecasts, either mine or the analyst consensus, compare to what the actual results end up being. So for example, let's say, I guess I'll use revenue here. Let's just say Tesla comes in at like $13 billion auto revenue. My forecast will show up as being 2% under, and the analyst forecast will be 7% under. So hopefully that makes sense when we eventually get to that point. Obviously, we'll talk about that at that time. But yeah, the rest of this, hopefully you guys have seen from the earnings previews. You still got time if you want to go check those out quick. But I am expecting non-GAAP earnings per share of $2.10. We'll see. Obviously, there's a lot that can be different here. We walked through some of the ASP, average selling price stuff yesterday. I feel pretty good about automotive revenue being a beat of the analyst consensus. So they're at about $12.1 billion. I'm at about $12.8 billion. Pretty significant difference considering we pretty much know deliveries. But what could happen that's going to maybe change some of the other results later on down in the earnings? We could have a different mix of revenue in total. So I'm pretty conservative with my Tesla energy forecast, for example. I'm at 800 megawatts. Oh, and you can see a little preview of some charts down there. We'll get to those. It's supposed to be a surprise, but I'm at 800 megawatt hours here for energy. And you can see last quarter Tesla was at, you know, 1.3 gigawatt hours. So plenty of room to the upside there. I had a good discussion in the comments a couple days back about with somebody just noting that Tesla had guided in the Q4 letter for a similar energy growth rate as they had last year. Last year, energy storage deployments grew 82%. If that same growth rate holds off the 3 gigawatt hours from last year, then Tesla's energy sales, energy storage deployments this year should be somewhere around like 5.5 gigawatt hours. And so far through the first two quarters, we're only at about 1.7. 1.7, 1.8. So if Tesla does actually intend to stay on track for that 5.5 gigawatt hours that they kind of were hoping for, in that ballpark, they've got some work to do to make up for, really the first quarter. If they can continue to average, you know, 1.5 gigawatt hours, that would get them on pretty close to being on track. So I may end up being low here on energy storage, versus, you know, kind of what Tesla had originally guided for. But as we talked about, Tesla did note specifically in the last call that there is a lot of variability just based on how installs end up being accounted for. So that's kind of what I'm trying to get after here with my forecast being down quarter over quarter. And this still does put Tesla Energy up 75% year to date so far. So Q1 through Q3 this year versus Q1 through Q3 last year. This would put them up 75%. Last year, we just saw that huge spike in Q4 where it was 1.6 gigawatt hours. So even if they do just hit my forecast, if the seasonality stays the same as last year, which I don't necessarily really know why it would, but if it did, then we might see a bigger number there on Tesla Energy. So anyway, the original point that I was making with that is that we could see a higher energy number here. You know, let's say this comes in double. Energy storage, 1.6 gigawatt hours, not out of the question for sure. We could see maybe $1 billion in revenue from energy. That adds, you know, 30% to my forecast. And because energy is going to be a lower margin business, last quarter was 2.5%. If things like that happen, that can adjust the profitability mix, basically. So if you're getting more margin or more revenue from lower margin businesses, that's going to drag your total down. So in that scenario, even if I were to be correct on my automotive sales and margin, an energy beat would end up pulling my total gross margin down. So just things like that can happen. And I know a lot of people like to just look at the bottom line, you know, compare, oh, Rob was at $2.10, analysts were at $1.69, whoever was closer did a better job. That's really not how it works. Just because there's so many variables that can cause something to change pretty significantly. So that's why I really like to go through all the numbers, so we have kind of the contextual understanding of each line. And some people have asked about that, you know, what's the point of doing all this forecasting stuff when we're going to get the numbers in 2 days anyway? And the point for me is that it really, really, really helps me understand the business, because I have to go through and I have to do the work and I have to think about all these different things that we've got over here and many more. This is like the summary of all the things that I'm thinking about. But having to go through and do that work really helps me understand the business. And my hope with going through the forecast is that it helps you understand the business as well once we do get the actual results. I think one of the best ways to learn is just by doing. And for me, doing these forecasts is a great way to learn. So that's why I do them. Hopefully it helps you guys learn as well. It's not really about just trying to hit this bottom line number, you know, be right with the forecast. It's really just trying to understand how things are shaping up, where things are going. So hopefully that makes sense. Anyway, so what I was saying on revenue, you know, you could come in with higher energy, you could come in with higher services and others, which are low margin businesses too. That could cause me to miss on my, you know, total gross margin line. But I wouldn't care in that case, because I would still know that fundamentally, let's say I get the automotive gross margin X credits right, but let's say Tesla energy and services revenue comes in double and that drags my margin down to like a 26. Well, I already know that that's because of these other businesses. And going forward, those are going to be not less important. Obviously, energy and services and others are going to continue to grow, and that's not the point I'm making. But by isolating these things out, we can get a better understanding of the strength of each business line and how that strength will continue or not continue in the future. So I hope that kind of makes sense. Okay, so just want to see if there's like anything else that I wanted to point out here. Maybe just a quick one, since some people I know are not familiar with this. So I did adjust kind of the differences here when I'm talking about like my forecast versus the actuals. I'll just put in, you know, let's say gross profits like 30. That's not what I wanted actually. Let's say the automotive gross margin. That's what I want. So let's say that comes in at 29. I'm going to be showing here that my forecast was 100 basis points higher. This would be 130 basis points higher than last year's 27.7. So if you're not familiar, a basis point is just 0.01%. And we use basis points because you shouldn't be doing percent changes on percentages. It doesn't make sense. This would be up like, you know, 29 divided by 27.7. It's going to be up like, what, 6%, something like that. But that doesn't give you, you know, then it's confusing because, oh, you're saying it's 6% better, then it would be, you know, 33.7. So basis points just make it much more clear of, okay, we're talking, it improved by 130 basis points. So it improved by 1.3 percentage points in this hypothetical scenario, obviously. And then my forecast, again, I'm saying I would be 100 basis points too high on my forecast of 30% versus the actual of 29%. And then analysts would have been 60 basis points low. So again, hopefully that helps contextualize things when we do get the actual numbers. I did see a super chat in here, so appreciate that, Tim. Thanks a lot. That means a whole lot to me when you guys support the channel like that. Make sure I didn't miss any other ones in here. And then maybe we can, I think we still got like 7 minutes left before close. Zayden here, Rabbi sent you a Twitter message regarding Australian government's push/petition to ban EVs as they were worse for the environment. That sounds horrible. I'm really definitely checking emails and Twitter DMs and things like that is not my strength at all. And it actually takes a lot of time. And I do like to give thoughtful responses when I can. So I do apologize that I'm just really bad at that. But I will try to check that. And I know other people obviously have tried to contact me and haven't been successful. So I do apologize for that. It's only so much time in the day. And I do, in general, try to prioritize my efforts towards things that are going to be, you know, widely discussed. I can have DM conversations and stuff like that all day, but at the end of the day, it's more productive for me to talk to, you know, thousands of people at a time versus individually. So I do try to take that into account as well. Kai here asking, please explain again the effect of this quarter income on PE ratio and PE ratio decrease with future earnings. Possibly quick out of head calculation. You know, I love those. Okay, yeah, we can do that quick. So here's how you calculate the price to earnings. This will be obviously pretty basic for a lot of you, but you're just looking at the trailing 12 months GAAP earnings. And normally we talk non-GAAP, but PE is always GAAP. That's just how it is. And it's GAAP because it's generally accepted accounting principles. So different companies could be doing different things from a non-GAAP perspective. They can't do different things from a GAAP perspective, so that's why GAAP is always sort of like the level playing ground. That's why it's used in a lot of different ratios. But when we're talking about individual companies that we understand well, most of the time we're going to be focused on non-GAAP, because for Tesla, we know that that's just backing out stock-based compensation, which is a non-cash cost. So it needs to be considered, but it doesn't actually affect Tesla's income per se. So that's why it gets backed out of, you know, an income number. That being said, it does affect GAAP earnings. So over the last 12 months, Tesla, from a GAAP perspective, has earned $1.92. So if you've got an $863 share price divided by 1.92, that comes out to a 450 earnings multiple. So 450x price to earnings. What's going to happen when we get Q3 numbers is this Q3 from last year drops off, gets replaced by whatever we get this quarter. So my estimate, we'll go with the analyst estimate. I think we've talked about mine. So analyst consensus is $1.25. That would put the trailing 12 months earnings after this report at 290. So then you're at 863 divided by 2.9. And that brings the price to earnings down to 298x from that 450. Then you can imagine that, okay, next quarter, the same thing will happen. We'll replace Q4 with this year's Q4. Maybe that adds like $1.50. So then you're at 266 plus 1.5, and it'll probably be higher than 1.5, but let's just err on the side of conservatism. So we'd be at 863 divided by 4.16. At that point, your price earnings would be 207. So that's what's happening. And then, you know, go forward one more quarter, add another dollar in there, and you can see how the price earnings has gone from, you know, 1,000 earlier this year down to where we're going to be after this quarter in the 200 range. So, yeah. So, thank you for the super chats. Appreciate all these. Thanks, Robin. Daniel, how likely will it be that you make a shareholder proposal next year? Pretty unlikely. I kind of just said that as a joke. I don't really have anything that I mean, that could change, but I don't really have a major proposal. Kevin, thank you. Feeling is mutual. Passion Planet. Amount of work you do is incredible. Appreciate passion, authenticity, ability to work with numbers. It was fun meeting you, Battery Day. Let's go. It was fun meeting you. And it was fun chatting with you that one time. I still remember. Thank you, Troy. All right, so let's flip back to Safari here. And let's see. Let's get ready. We're winding down. We got 2 minutes left. Somebody I just happened to see, someone asked how forward PE works. So just to kind of understand that, basically it just goes off of analyst consensus estimates for the forward quarters. So the I guess future 12 months. So all right, let's see. I guess one thing I did want to point out just while we're waiting here. So Elon did tweet out earlier today in response to Brett from ARK. He said this before, but reiterating that the day FSD goes to wide release will be one of the biggest asset value increases in history. So that was just in reply to basically some of the benefits that are unlocked when autonomy does happen. Yeah, so I mean, I haven't looked at ARK's information there, but they're just pointing that out. Elon is saying, yep, it's going to be a huge asset value creation. And, you know, he's said things like that in the past, but continues to believe that that is the case, as do I. I think it's not going to be like an instant switch of the flip. Switch of the flip, flip of the switch, but yeah, it is certainly quite the value creation. Last thing I'll say then before close, if you are interested, I think some people on Twitter have put together a change.org petition to try to, yeah, I guess protest or you know highlight some of the things that Missy Cummings has done on Twitter, the people that she seems to be fond of interacting. As I tweeted last night, I am blocked on Twitter. You know, haven't interacted with her. Many other accounts that have not interacted with her are blocked. She follows a lot of people very active in the Tesla Q community. If you're not familiar with Tesla Q, the Q at the end of that's what happens to a stock ticker when they go bankrupt. So it is, you know, yeah. Anyway, if you want to sign this, you can just go to just Google Missy Cummings change.org and it should take you there. Okay, so let's see. I mean, we're at close now. It's probably still going to be a few minutes. And again, once we get the numbers, you guys are just going to have to bear with me as I digest them here with you, and obviously fill out my spreadsheet. But I don't know. It seems like you guys kind of like that, so that's fine. All right, let's see here. So, I doubt we're gonna see anything too see much happening yet. It'll probably be a few more minutes. I didn't get a chance to ask any questions on Say this time around. So I haven't even actually looked at the questions yet. I should, because I should vote on them. But, so yeah, we'll see what the questions are this time around, and we'll see if Elon is on the call too. So I feel like kind of the first indicator we usually get is that something changes with the after hours price. I don't know if it gets like leaked through a newswire first or something like not leaked, but published through a newswire first before it kind of makes its way out to this investor page. But I'll try to keep my I'll try to keep my eye too on the chat just in case. case I miss something here. But yeah, it's probably gonna be a few more minutes. You guys see that Facebook is trying to rebrand? Shocker, right? Not rebrand, I guess, rename their company. I think the Facebook itself would still be the same Facebook, but obviously Facebook's got their hands in a lot of different things nowadays. Well, hey, random poll here. I'll just go ahead and vote on that. I certainly expect a beat for both. But yeah, we'll see. So, I mean, before we get the numbers, certainly, yeah, I mean, I've talked about this, but we've... Oh, that actually got quite a bit of action. We've talked about this, but certainly there are things that could cause my forecast to be too high. Lots of them. You know, there are supply chain challenges. Elon has been very, very open about that. There have been production challenges that may have raised costs. We know that Tesla was installing parts after production in some cases. That could increase SG&A. It could go into COGS. Not sure. And then, yeah, someone had, what sparked this for me is someone had asked about Berlin and Texas, and I don't think those, I think most of those costs are probably capitalized right now, but I'm not an accounting expert, so I don't know for sure. If it's capitalized, then it's not going to be an income, it's not going to be a balance sheet thing right now, but it would come back in as depreciation and amortization over time. But some of those costs may not be capitalized, so that could also... affect the Q3 numbers. I seem to have lost a little bit of my light over there from my window. I might go ahead and crack those open a little bit. Just give me 1 second. I don't know if that helped at all, but it might be a little brighter. Really, I was just standing up and walking away to try to convince Tesla to put the earnings out at that point. No dice, though. Yeah, so it doesn't look like anything yet. And unfortunately, we kind of just get to sit in this loop of, hey, someone's saying hi, Rob. There we go. Well done. I don't know if that's a... Are they out? They're out? I don't see them yet. I don't see them yet, guys. It's out. Why isn't it showing up for me? There we go. All right, let's see these numbers. I think I saw a 30% gross margin there. Is that right? There we go. Automotive gross margin, 30.5%. Regulatory credits so low. Oh, guys, they crushed it. Why is revenue low? I'm so confused right now. Well, margins are great. Revenue is very low. GAAP gross margin, operating expenses right on. Income, operating margins a little bit lower than what I had. EBITDA, all right, where's the earnings? Okay, so this is very interesting. And I am definitely confused right now based on automotive revenues being quite a bit lower than what I had expected. But margins are good, which is actually surprising because with revenues coming in quite a bit lower, I would have expected that margins would be lower because you have just less, you know, sales dollars to build that margin off of. So this means that Tesla's costs are actually even better than what I had forecast. But obviously I was too high for some reason on the revenue line. So we'll have to get into that a little bit. But yeah, right off the bat. So we do have a beat here. We've got $1.86 versus the consensus was $1.69. But it looks like just, you know, revenues, I think, are even a little bit lower than what the street had as well, which I thought was far too low. So yeah, something there was off for me. Let's go ahead and look at, I'm just trying to find, okay. So storage and solar. So we did get a good storage number, 1.3 gigawatt hours. Solar pretty much, you know, close to flat from last quarter. Solar pretty close to flat from last quarter. We'll read through a lot of these notes, of course, in a second. I just kind of want to go down and see. Ooh, we've got some really nice photos here. Let's not get distracted yet, though. I do want to see how energy revenues came in and services and others. So I did end up missing there by maybe $150 million. Services definitely came in quite a bit lower than what I expected. Energy came in a little bit higher, but looks like the average selling prices there are going to be quite low too for Megapack or for storage in general. All right, so let's just do a quick read through of the shareholder letter, and then we can put some of those into our Excel spreadsheet. So Tesla highlighting some cash things, operating cash flow, $1.3 billion after CapEx, free cash flow, $1.3 billion. That's pretty much right in the expected range. It's going to be a little bit higher than what the street was expecting, but probably not huge. And even before we get here, let's just take a look at stock. Okay, so pretty muted reaction, which I don't think is too surprising. I think I had said the expectations are probably in that, you know, $1.80 type of range. So not too surprising with the stock, I don't think. Okay, so profitability, we talked a little bit about those numbers. This is huge though, 28.8% X credit margin. I think I was at 28.3%, so that's awesome. That means really good things. And again, the ASPs were low, so Tesla's cost control is really, really great right now. That's shaping up for really good things going forward. I mean, you guys know that that's one of the first things I like to look at. Record vehicle production and deliveries, we talked about that. Start of the FSD beta rollout. So they exceeded medium-term guidance of operating margin in low teens. Profitability was achieved while our ASP decreased 6% year-over-year in Q3 due to continued mix shifts toward lower-priced vehicles. Our operating margin reached an all-time high as we continue to reduce costs at a higher rate than decline in ASP. EV demand continues to go through a structural shift. More vehicles we have on the road, more owners there are out there. Fremont factory produced more cars in the last 12 months than any other year. We believe there is room for continued improvement. Obviously, we've got S and X that are missing from that stat. Additionally, ramp in Shanghai and Berlin, Texas. Variety of challenges, semiconductor shortages, congestion at ports, rolling blackouts have impacted the ability to keep running at full speed. Dealing with these global challenges. Yep, okay. So a lot of stuff that we've heard before. We've got some numbers there. Revenue grew 57% year over year. Okay, kind of talked about all that stuff. Okay, so CEO compensation was $190 million. I was at $170 million, so pretty close on that. Yep, operating income. So operating expenses were really good, and we're going to talk more about that in a second. And then cash. So cash decreased to 16.1, but that is because, as expected, Tesla paid off debt. $1.5 billion here. I actually thought it was a little bit more. Thought it was like 1.8, but so they paid off debt, and they had the free cash flow, obviously, that offset some of that debt repayment, but in general, it decreased. Total debt, excluding vehicle and energy product financing, has fallen to just $2.1 billion. That's awesome. So Tesla's in an extremely strong position financially right now. Alert the credit agencies, because they don't seem to realize that for some reason. It's extremely obvious. Inventory here, so down to 6 days. We'd already kind of talked about that. We see continued growth in, you know, stores and service locations, up about 40% combined year over year. And it looks like supercharging really starting to take off here. 50% growth year over year. We'll talk more about that probably in another episode. So these are all the same still from last quarter in terms of the current installed capacity. I thought we might see Shanghai change. Obviously, it's quite a bit better than 450 now. So Berlin, Texas Model Y in construction, Cybertruck in development, Semi-Roadster, future product in development. So I think that stuff's all the same. Market share continues to go up and up and up. Okay. Supply chain stuff. California, Texas. So 430,000 vehicles in the last 4 quarters. Continued improvement. Texas progressing as planned. Process of commissioning equipment and fabricating our first pre-production vehicles. That's exciting. Shanghai for all of Q3. China remained our main export hub. Production has ramped well. For standard range vehicles, we're shifting to lithium iron phosphate battery chemistry globally. Okay. So that probably helps improve margins, what Tesla is saying there, and that could have been a factor in Q3. Europe, Berlin, Brandenburg, factory build-out remains on track. Testing of new equipment. Expect to receive final approval before the year ends. Great. AI Day. Expansion. Continue to monitor fleet data closely. Okay. The new app. Skyforce Reloaded. 4680 in-house cell production project continues to progress, producing an increasing number of battery packs for testing purposes. So far, the test results meet our current expectations. Okay. I suppose that's good. We don't know what their current expectations are, but that's good. Front and rear body castings, both needed for our structural battery pack architecture, are being produced at Giga Texas. Okay. So I think most of that stuff we knew, but good to see that the 4680 is meeting expectations. Energy storage increased 71% year over year. Strong Megapack deployments. New Megapack factory of 40 gigawatt hours. They mentioned that at the shareholder meeting. Total 3 gigawatt hours in the last 12 months. Yeah, storage is about to grow a lot. But it looks like the ASPs are pretty low right now. So solar deployment, solar roof deployments more than doubled year over year. We don't know the base. Continue to grow sequentially in Q3. So up year over year, up sequentially. That's as best as we can look for right now. They're looking for further cost increases. So insurance rolled that out in Texas. I think we know all that. Multi-year horizon, 50%. I think this is all the same. All right, product. We continue to target our first Model Y production builds in Berlin and Austin before the end of the year. Great to see that reiterated. Again, stuff that we'd thought and Tesla has talked about, but good to see that in the shareholder letter. Yep, normal disclaimers about production ramp, progress on the industrialization of the Cybertruck, which is currently planned for Austin production subsequent to Model Y. All right, let's take a quick look at these photos, then we can hop into that spreadsheet. So here's GigaFest. So really cool to see some drone shots there. Office space with a factory view. That's awesome. It's a beautiful factory, that's for sure. Beautiful factory for beautiful cars. All right, so we've got the R&D center right here with the factory back there. Got the giga presses and then some charts. All right, cool. Let's see what the stock is doing and then we'll hop into Excel. Guessing probably still not a lot. Yeah. Not terribly surprising. All right, so let's put some of these numbers into Excel. And again, you guys will just have to bear with me as I kind of convert these things over. But let's see. See how we can do this. I'm gonna flip this to Excel and I'll just have to hop back and forth. Okay. Thought I had Do Not Disturb on. Turn that on. So sorry about that. Continue bearing with me here. Let me flip back to Excel. And we'll get some numbers in here. All right, so automotive revenues. This is definitely the biggest area of miss for me. And again, this is why we go through it in such detail so we can kind of understand what's driving that. I mean, a little bit of it's regulatory credits, but really not much. So I was 6% too high on automotive revenue. Analysts were 1% too high. Which really was for them driven by regulatory credits. Otherwise, X credits are probably pretty much right on. So, definitely credit to the consensus on that. Let's just get deliveries in here too. So, we've got 241, 391. Okay, so Tesla always reports it a little bit higher. So, they added 90, 91 deliveries. Right, then energy sales, I think we had 803 here, if my memory serves. Just find that and double check that quick though. And then again, guys, remember this will eventually segue into the earnings call, so we'll have a separate link for that. But of course, we'll do the same thing that we normally do for the earnings calls when we're wrapped up with this. What am I looking at here? Do I have the wrong? Just give me 1 second. I think maybe I was looking at the wrong number before for energy. So anyway, that's 806. And services and others being 894. Gets the total revenue 13,757. So yeah, I was 6% too high on revenue, obviously mostly driven by that over forecast in automotive sales. So then profit, so automotive costs, cost of revenue, so we got 81.50 here. And energy, oh, that's what it was. Okay, so I was looking at costs there. Ah, so they didn't quite get into positive on services and others. Too bad. So real small profit there in energy. Very small loss there in services. We did continue to see that margin improve for services and others. Just a negative 1.8% this time. Maybe next quarter that'll flip to positive. All right, let me just make sure that the rest of this is good. So we had total gross profit 38.94. Let's make sure that matches up. 38.94. It does not. All right, so give me a second here and see what's going wrong. I wish Tesla formatted this a little bit differently. All right, so that's where the problem is. So it's 83.84. And then we got 36.60. So I didn't have the automotive leasing costs in there. Now I do. So there we see our automotive gross margin of 30.5. So even though I was real low on revenues, Tesla having much, much better cost control than what I had forecast. So I was 40 basis points low on automotive gross margin, 50 basis points low on automotive gross margin X credit, which again, you guys know how much I love that number. That's up 510 basis points year over year. So 5.1% above Q3's margin last year, which was 23.7%, which was actually up quite a bit from Q2 last year because that was a big beat at that point. So yeah, this is really, really phenomenal progress on that gross margin. Analyst forecast was 280 basis points low on the margins. So energy gross margin percent here, so 0.4%, just barely cracking positive on that. I was a little bit high, as were analysts. Same thing on services and others, I was a bit high. Analysts were a bit low there. But still, quite a bit of improvement sequentially and year over year. So that's dragging the total gross margin down less than it was in past quarters. So 26.6%, again, this is where I'm like, it just has mixed out that I just happened to be on that. But again, it doesn't really mean much because I was so far off on revenues. So just kind of by chance on that. All right, so let's look at R&D here. Super close on that, so 611. So it's just 1% too high there, $9 million. And then we got 994 here. Whew. Basically right on there for operating expenses. And then we have restructuring and other $51 million here. So I'm assuming that's Bitcoin impairment. Let's just take a quick look. Bitcoin-related impairment of $51 million and other items. Okay. So I'd expected 70. We're at 50. So yeah, that's hurting the bottom line here, but not quite as much as I had forecast. Just a small difference there. Anyway, operating expenses, 1.6 billion versus 1.7 versus 1.7. So I was 2% high on operating expenses, which again, that's better. Most of that's, I think, driven by Bitcoin. Operating income though, 2 billion versus my forecast of 2.2 billion. Operating margin, so this is really incredible. 200 basis points higher than what the street was expecting. A little bit lower than what I was expecting, but if you had given me this revenue number, I probably would have come in with lower automotive gross margins. I probably would have come in with a lower operating margin. So really impressive to see that this number from Tesla. Like, Yeah. I think the stock market is probably just looking at this bottom line and not really thinking about this stuff yet. But that's going to be very meaningful in future quarters. All right, so let's look at our lovely friend EBITDA. Let me find that. So we're at 3203. So I was 4% high on that. We know that that was 190. So I was 11% low on that, but pretty close. Stock-based compensation. Me find that quick. So 475. Ooh, okay. So that's actually good because that means that stock-based compensation, excluding CEO compensation, was $15 million below what I had expected. And I think that actually means that there's a decline quarter over quarter, which is helping drive Tesla's operating leverage here that we're seeing with that 14.6 operating margin. All right, the non-GAAP net income. So yeah, it goes without saying, this is a best for Tesla. Oh, sorry, we got GAAP net income, so that's 1618. And that's 293. Yep. So $2.1 billion in non-GAAP net income. I was 12% too high, but again, up $500 million from Q2, up 1.2 billion, 1.3 billion from last year, 139% improvement there in non-GAAP net income year over year. Then we got finally our earnings per share numbers here. So we're at $1.44 and $1.86. Oh, and then free cash flow, of course. It's 1328. And it looks like we did not get that any of that deferred tax allowance this quarter. So that still remains kind of on the books. That could be tailwind for GAAP earnings per share in a future quarter. Okay, so let's just one more time kind of re-go through these numbers. So average selling price falling quite a bit. You can see deliveries up 73% year over year, but automotive revenue only up 58%, which to some extent to be expected. Obviously, there were fewer S and X deliveries this quarter. Yeah, I don't know. There must have been a lot more standard range Model Ys than what I had expected, or something's just off in my math on ASPs. So I'll have to go back and kind of figure that out. But again, here, Tesla's driving these really solid operating margins with a lot less regulatory credit sales than before. So we talked about this coming into earnings, but last year, Q3, we had $400 million of regulatory credits. And let's look at GAAP net income, $331 million. So Tesla not even profitable last year without regulatory credits on a GAAP basis. And yet, if we don't consider the tax implications and things like that, which not worth it. But then we come up to this year, and all of a sudden Tesla's doing $1.6 billion, of which only $279 million of that is regulatory credits. So again, just not considering the tax implications. It's only 17% of net income, and that's just going to continue to drop steadily. So, end of the day, you've got revenue up 57%, GAAP net income up 389%. You're adding a, let's see what we did in additional revenue. So, about five, yeah, almost exactly $5 billion there in additional revenue. And almost what 30% of that's falling all the way to the bottom. Yeah, you've got 26%, I guess. So you've got $5 billion additional revenue, and you got $1.3 billion additional GAAP net income. So 26% of the incremental revenue is falling all the way down to GAAP net income, which is great to see. And that drives that, the differences in the changes that we're seeing there. Okay, so let's just quickly look at some charts here. Let me take off freeze panes there. All That was my take second to load. So here you can see deliveries, obviously no surprise there, that continues to increase over time. Here's auto revenue, and in blue there is the regulatory credit revenue. So it's, you know, obviously hard to see, but regulatory credit revenue is like completely becoming meaningless on in terms of revenue. And we'll look at profits in a second, but yeah, revenue continues to go up. Regulatory credits continue to be a smaller and smaller percent, which is what we're seeing here. Last year, Q3, it was, sorry about these overlays, but it was 5% last year in Q3, now 2% of revenue. So it just continues to become less and less important. And hey, we welcome the goalpost shifting from critics of Tesla, I guess. Energy sales, so I guess no surprise there. Energy storage deployments were pretty similar quarter over quarter. So was revenue. Services and others, very interesting to see that drop. I definitely would not have forecast for that. Obviously, I didn't forecast for that, but kind of interesting. Maybe they just didn't have, you know, the amount of trading vehicles to sell this quarter that they did last quarter. But that's pretty unusual. You can see we've seen consistent growth in services and others up until this point. And then total sales obviously continues to grow very nicely as well. Let's see. Those might need to refresh. Hopefully that does it. Yep. Okay, so I mentioned regulatory credits becoming less important in terms of even the profitability. So here is automotive gross profit, which you can see just following a nice little, hopefully S-curve on up there. And regulatory credit profit, which is all the regulatory credit revenue, you know, just a smaller and smaller chunk of that total. You've got energy, services, and others profit here. Not a whole lot to say on that. Services and others in blue. So you can see that that's pretty consistently improving from Q4 last year. And yeah, energy is just kind of up and down, operating at basically break even at this point. But obviously if Tesla scales that up to, you know, 40 gigawatt hours a year, that's going to hopefully really leverage the profitability in this business. And hopefully, you know, in a year or two, we're sitting here and looking at something a little bit more like this with energy. Services and others, that's not the intent. If that can just break in a, you know, 5 to 10% gross margin to just kind of cover some of the operating expenses, I think that's great. But here you can see, it's nice to see, look at total sales versus gross profit. It's kind of hard to see, but there's a steeper slope on gross profit as Tesla leverages, you know, the scale of their business. I think these ones are super informative to look at. So automotive gross margin X credits, total gross margin, all continuing to just rise very nicely. Even though, as Tesla mentioned, you've got those supply chain challenges, we've got rising materials costs, we've got average selling prices declining. Tesla's working against a lot of headwinds there, and yet they're still able to continue to drive this up into incredible 30% margins, even excluding credits, 29% gross margins, which I would have to look back, but that might be an all-time high for Tesla. It's certainly the highest since Model 3 production began for that non-GAAP, or sorry, for the X credit gross margin percent on automotive. And then that's obviously all flowing down to total gross margin too, especially as service and energy, you know, we're seeing smaller losses in the combination of those businesses. And that's helping total gross margin too. Oh, and then, I mean, I've been talking about this for years, guys. Like, look at this operating margin chart. It's just, like, up and to the right, fast. Yeah, you love to see it. There's some stuff here that obviously was impacted by, like, CEO compensation, kind of arbitrarily, just based on how it was recognized, driving these things down. And, you know, people sit there and look at that and say, oh, their operating margins are, like, 5%. Like, great. But if you just did some math and took the time to understand it like we did on Tesla Daily, you would have seen this coming, which is, you know, this is what's driving Tesla's fundamental strength as a stock is this that we're seeing right here. Obviously, that's a result of all the other things they're doing, but this is kind of like the clearest way to look at it. So this is revenue, profit, operating expenses, and I just think this is amazing to look at because look at operating expenses, right? Here you've got operating expenses last year, Q3, about $1.2 billion. This year, you've got operating expenses, $1.7 billion. So they added $500 million in operating expenses while adding $5 billion in revenue. Like, that's leverage. That's incredible leverage. You're turning 90% of your revenue. You know, I guess let's just calculate the growth here. Well, that doesn't even matter. So the point is, if you just look at these graphs, you can see how much more revenue Tesla is being able to generate with marginal, very marginal increases in operating expenses. It truly is, it's nothing short of incredible. And then finally, we've got earnings per share here, non-GAAP. So we continue to see that rise, just like every single other chart that we've got in here once those load. But fundamentally, Tesla is building an incredibly strong business. It just continues to become more and more clear quarter by quarter. In terms of my forecast, I'm happy with Tesla's numbers. In terms of my forecast, I'm definitely disappointed that I was too high on automotive revenue. We'll just have to go back to the spreadsheet and figure out what caused that. And if I were on the call, I think that would be one of the questions that I have, just because that's going to have some influence on the next quarters. And if I were to be adjusting a Q4 model now, I would have to be pulling down my revenue forecast for Q4 as well, and maybe even into 2022. And when analysts get results like this, that's what they're going to do. They're going to look at the numbers, how they've come in, look at what they need to change for, you know, the rest of their forecast. And for them, they were pretty much right on revenue, so they're not going to change much there. But they're definitely going to have to increase, you know, their earnings targets because of this, you know, 280 basis point beat that Tesla delivered on automotive gross margin, excluding regulatory credits. So I'm hopeful that we'll see some earnings increases. I guess I don't really care too much, so that's probably not the best way to say that. But I would expect that we'll see some earnings increases from analysts. All right. That was a lot to go through. I feel like we got through it relatively quickly, though. Let's talk about PE. So here we go. Our new trailing 12 months earnings number is $3.09. So I think we still got about an hour to the earnings call, so we got some time here. But $3.09, I think we're at 855-ish right now, so divided by 309. Yeah, Tesla's new PE, when it gets updated, probably in a couple days, is going to be 277. I mean, that's what it is now, but when you see it on like Yahoo Finance and things, that's what it's going to be. And if we just annualize Q3 numbers, which if you look at last year, we did actually have smaller GAAP earnings in Q4 than Q3. But Q1 and Q2 outperformed. So for a forward PE, I think it's probably a very conservative estimate. $1.44 times 4 would give earnings of $5.76. Yeah, definitely conservative on that. If we stay at 850, yeah, forward PE is 147. Just based on, and that's, sorry, that's not the forward PE. That's just based on annualizing current earnings. That's too low. When the stock market realizes that is anyone's question, but that's too low. Because look at this. Model S and X, still not ramped. FSD, not fully recognized. Berlin and Texas, just a twinkle in the spreadsheet's eye. Like, this is the operating leverage that Tesla is generating with just two factories, and they're about to have four factories. They're already getting incredible margins, and they're still importing into Europe. Berlin fixes that. And it just leverages their entire operations that much more. Like, it comes to a certain point where, okay, almost your entire additional gross margin or gross profit that you're generating, so in this case, you know, $800 million in a single quarter of additional gross profit, let's see how much of that's falling down to the bottom line. Almost, you know, more than half of that, 5/8 of that. So whatever that is, like 62%. Of that gross profit is making its way all the way down into net income. So just imagine what happens when you get two other factories that are, you know, basically just double this and double this. Okay, then maybe you get $7 billion in gross profit, and of that $3.5 billion extra, maybe $2 billion of that falls back down to net income, and then all of a sudden you've got another 100% increase on this. You're earning $3, $4 a share. per quarter. Yeah, it's gonna get big, and it's just a matter of when the stock, feels like the price earnings and forward PE just compressed too low. And that's the stage that we're at right now. So again, Tesla, I was a little bit high on some of my forecasts here, primarily the revenue. But aside from that, I'm very happy with the numbers I'm seeing. I mean, as I said at the beginning, a miss on, not a miss, me being too high on forecast on revenue and Tesla still beating my gross margin expectation is crazy. Like if you've ever built a model, the less revenue you have, the harder it is to get higher margins, right? So, Tesla having that low average selling price means that their costs are in a great position, which is great for margins in the future, or when Tesla wants to lower their prices and capture a bigger percent of the market. Like they have so much room to do that right now, with these high margins. And yeah, everyone else is just going to have to compete with whatever Tesla decides they want to price it at because Tesla is going to be the cost leader. So the chance to compete is slowly slipping away, I guess, is that's why I care about these things. Because if Tesla was here delivering a 20% margin, there's a lot more room to compete because Tesla can only go down so much lower. Here, when they're at 30%, they've got so much flexibility to lower their prices and just outprice anybody else, even though they're already building better products anyway. So yeah, it's just crazy. So let me just take a breath. Take a drink of water. And so you guys have any questions? Again, I added like the link to the earnings call in the description, and I think this is supposed to then like roll you into that once we wrap up. So hopefully that'll work. But until we do have a little bit of time, so I will stick around here if people have any questions. I'll try to take a look now at the chat. And if someone wants to let me know how many people are watching this, I'm always curious on that too. My streaming software doesn't tell me. Okay. See. Yeah, bear with me. I'm just kind of poking through chats right now, hoping that this went all went okay. Yeah, someone asking why ASPs were so low. I don't know. I mean, that's why I went through them yesterday because I was really not understanding how that was going to be the case. I think, my best guess is that we're not really seeing the price increases hit yet, and that we're seeing, I guess, more standard range Model Y than I expected. The other thing that maybe is throwing things off a little bit is that someone did note that the vehicles delivered in Europe this quarter, specifically the Model Ys, those might have been locked in at a lower price when Tesla had originally had the design studio up. And then I think they changed things and maybe raised the prices. I don't really know how that whole situation unfolded, unfortunately, but that could have caused temporary drops in ASP for those deliveries in Europe, which then again, as we head into Q4, maybe both of those things potentially rebound. Maybe we start to get more of those price increases hitting the books in Q4. And maybe less of the European deliveries locked in at lower prices, but again, we'll probably have to do a little bit more research on that. The other thing too is I don't think this is really the case, but FSD subscription, maybe the take rate was just quite a bit lower because of the FSD subscription now being a thing. But then you'd be pretty surprised at the margins being what they were if that were the case. So I'm guessing, another factor may have been the trim mix. Maybe that dropped. We don't really have any good way of seeing that. So, I was accounting for Tesla to have been prioritizing more expensive vehicles, but maybe that wasn't happening yet in Q3. Certainly looks like it's going to be happening in Q4, but if that went the other way, that certainly could have had a big impact on ASPs. But yeah, the rest of these things, I mean, I can't think of much else. But aside from ASP is obviously very glad with the costs and the margins. Okay, let's see. Thanks, Own. Sorry if I'm getting that wrong, pronunciation-wise. Appreciate that. Okay. So I think we'll leave the earnings and shareholder letter part for now. And then, yeah, we'll do the earnings call. We'll see what Tesla has to say. And maybe we'll have some more thoughts at that point. And yeah, we'll see if Elon is on the call. TBD on that, I guess. And then after the earnings call, so I'll do my note taking as we go through the call. And then after that, of course, we'll be around for a little bit more reaction. So if you have any, questions, think about them and send them in at that point. But otherwise, thanks for joining. Hope you guys are happy with the earnings results too. And oh, we did just get one final super chat here. First off, thanks, Linda. And then we've got a question here. Oop. This is the one I meant to put. When do you think we'll start seeing the front chassis gigapress on Model Y? So Tesla did mention that they're working on those now. So I would think like Q1. I mean, maybe let's just flip back here quick to see what they actually said in the earnings report. But front and rear body castings, both needed for our structural battery pack architecture, are being produced at Giga Texas. So again, we don't really have a lot of clarity on what Tesla's initial plan is there because it sounded like they've got some backup plans. But for Texas, if they're going right away into 4680s, then I think they'd be also going right away into structural packs, which by default here would mean going in right away to front and rear castings. So maybe we're going to see them in Q4, which obviously would be really exciting. But good question. Oh, now it looks like we're starting to get some chats. Okay. I think there's just a little bit of a lag time. All right, so let me just get these last other questions here and maybe spend 5 more minutes on this. Were the Plaid Model S deliveries locked in a lower price from initial reservation holders, maybe $200 million difference? Yes, they would have been, but I don't think that that would have been as significant of a difference. I think it was only a $10,000 difference. And, worst case, that would have been on 9,000 deliveries if those were all Plaids that were locked in at those lower prices, which I don't think is the case. That would have been, $80, $90 million. So I don't think that would have been, it might have been a factor. Maybe I'm a little bit high on Model S. I was at 110,000 ASP. So it's possible. Jürgen, would be great to add a line with ASP to make it visible. Yes, true, but we don't actually get the final ASP from Tesla because of the mix. We kind of have to estimate either way. So I try to only show things that are concrete. And obviously, that's probably the right thing because something is off on my ASPs that I need to figure out. Thank you, HyperGadgets and Patrick. With Tesla so far ahead on FSD, could a possible NHTSA crackdown make it harder for competitors to catch up? So yes, this is definitely an interesting angle to consider, and this is kind of goes back to the comments on NHTSA asking Tesla to, why they didn't do a recall for the emergency vehicle detection feature addition, which was never supposed to be in it in the first place. So it wasn't a deep defect, just an improvement. If that's considered a defect that is worthy of recall from NHTSA, then how are other automakers going to be allowed to have a system that does not have that feature? It's like a logical fallacy that doesn't make any sense. So if things like that come to the surface, then yes, that could make it more difficult for others to compete too. And if there's a level playing field, then that's what should happen. And I think that's all anyone is asking for is a level playing field. Well, in addition to that, I would say people are also wanting just to be tech forward and not anti-progress, but yeah. There's potential there for it to make it more difficult for others to compete, for sure. But there's also a risk for Tesla if they reduce the. What could happen is that they limit things in a way that only Tesla is at. So they put limits on Tesla that would apply to everyone, but only are going to impact Tesla at this point in time because Tesla is further ahead. That would be my biggest fear, and I'm sure that they would, if they're actually trying to target Tesla to an extent, then that would probably be how they would structure something. Joseph says free cash flow is great. Agree. Thank you, Kevin. Were you surprised to see them already producing Model Y bodies in Texas? Isn't that news we didn't already know about? I don't think so. I think at the shareholder meeting, they kind of had some of those like in the background. So I don't think that was super unknown, but it's possible. Certainly we've seen them, you know, testing out the casting machines and things like that. And maybe that's from, yeah, this is Texas. So I'm assuming that this is the photo they're talking about. It could be new news, I guess. I don't follow those as closely as kind of like the drone people do. But I'm not necessarily surprised. I mean, my view, Texas and Berlin are basically just like ready to start. Maybe Texas is a little bit further behind, but yeah, we're definitely getting in the final stages now. Thank you, Matthew. Tom says, please analyze balance sheet that shows the overall health of the business. Yes. So most of mine is like the income statement versus the balance sheet. I guess I could do more balance sheet stuff, but obviously I'm not set up for that at this point, at this moment. All right. I think I got through the super chats then. So I'm going to wrap it up. And again, this should hopefully take you into the earnings call live stream, but if not, the description will have that link. And yeah, we'll do the earnings call as we normally do. But that'll wrap it up for